Learn more at c3.ai.
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today we have a couple of topics. The Pinellas County City of Safety Harbor will vote tonight on transitioning to 100% renewable energy. So we'll hear from the Sierra Club on that. Also, what is democratic socialism? We'll hear parts of a speech from independent Senator Bernie Sanders, who's running for president as a Democrat. We'll also hear a critique of democratic socialism from Florida's senior U.S. Senator Marco Rubio. So I'd like to hear your take. And the way to do that is to call in at 813-239-9663. You can also email DJ at WMNF.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Well, tonight, the City of Safety Harbor will vote on a resolution committing to a 100% clean energy future. I hope you heard this morning's Sustainable Living program on WMNF. They talked about this vote as well. And you can hear that show on our website, WMNF.org. The discussion and vote in Safety Harbor will be tonight at 7 at Safety Harbor City Hall. That's at 750 Main Street. And if it advances, Safety Harbor would become the fourth city in Pinellas County, the ninth city in Florida, and the 127th city in the U.S. to make such a commitment to 100% renewable energy. I interviewed Kent Bailey. He's chair of the Tampa Bay Sierra Club. So here's what Kent Bailey said about tonight's Safety Harbor vote on renewable energy.
Safety Harbor will be considering becoming the fourth city in Pinellas and the ninth city in Florida and the 127th city in the nation to make a commitment to 100% clean energy. They'll be meeting at City Hall in Safety Harbor at 7 p.m. on Monday. It would be great for people to turn out for that meeting and show their support for this forward-thinking plan that's going to be considered by Safety Harbor.
What does that mean for a city to commit to 100% renewables? Does that mean that the city's going to have to spend a lot of money to convert things, or how does that work?
The first step is to make a plan. And you look at what your needs are, you look at what your assets are, you create a plan, and then you move forward slowly. Almost or about half the distance that we need to cover to renewable energy is made up by energy efficiency measures. These measures pay for themselves. It's simply a good investment. It means reducing the cost of energy and reducing the consumption of energy by increasing insulation, replacing windows. And when you get up into the industrial scale, there's a lot to do with variable speed motors versus old-fashioned motors. These are cost-effective measures that pay for themselves over time. And once you've identified those, you can move forward with that. And then you establish a path forward to retire the fossil fuel energy sources and replace those with solar energy. This is diametrically opposed to what TECO is proposing to do. You know, they have a 10-year plan that actually increases fossil fuel, but we're not paying any attention to efficiency over here. It's a key issue. We need to reduce the waste of energy.
Well, that's Kent Bailey. He's chair of the Tampa Bay Sierra Club. He's talking about a vote tonight at the Safety Harbor City Hall at 7 o'clock. That's located at 750 Main Street. They're going to vote on a resolution committing to a 100% clean energy future. So I thought I'd bring that to you this afternoon. And just so that you know, if you want to hear more about this, you can go to our website, WMNF.org. Look for today's Sustainable Living Show, because they had a lot more information about that as well. Well, the number here is 813-239-9663. And you can email us as well, DJ at WMNF.org. It's 1210 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. We're going to turn now to democratic socialism. What is democratic socialism? Last Wednesday, independent Senator Bernie Sanders, who is running for president as a Democrat, he's from Vermont, he gave a speech about democratic socialism and why, you know, what it is and why he is supporting it and how that connects historically to people like FDR, President President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and how really it's just a continuation of the policies of FDR, his view about democratic socialism. But, you know, I could talk about it, or I could let you hear what Bernie Sanders said last Wednesday. So we're going to do that right now. And if you'd like to call in or email during the speech and let us know what you think about democratic socialism or about this speech, you can call 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. I'm going to play a few minutes of it right now, and we'll break in and get your thoughts. But you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa, St. Petersburg. Here's Bernie Sanders speaking the other day about what is democratic socialism.
After decades of policies that have encouraged and subsidized unbridled corporate greed, we now have an economy that is fundamentally broken and grotesquely unfair. Even while macroeconomic numbers like GDP, the stock market, and the unemployment rate are strong, millions of middle class and working class people struggle to keep their heads above water, while at the same time the billionaire class consumes the lion's share of the wealth that we are collectively creating as a nation. In the midst of a so-called booming economy, real wages for the average worker have barely risen at all. And despite an explosion in technology and worker productivity, the average wage of the American worker in real dollars is no higher than it was 46 years ago, and millions of people in our country today are forced to work two or three jobs just to survive. And here is something quite incredible that tells you all that you need to know about the results of unfettered capitalism. All of us want to live long, happy, and productive lives. But in America today, the very rich live on average 15 years longer than the poorest Americans. In 2014, for example, in McDowell County, West Virginia, one of the poorest counties in the nation, life expectancy for men was 64 years. In Fairfax County, Virginia, a wealthy county, just 350 miles away, life expectancy for men was nearly 82 years, an 18-year differential. The life expectancy gap for women in the two counties was 12 years. In other words, the issue of unfettered capitalism is not just an academic debate. Poverty, economic distress, and despair are life-threatening issues for millions of working people in this country. While the rich get richer, they live longer lives. While poor and working families struggle economically and often lack adequate health care, their life expectancy is declining for the first time in modern American history. Taken together, the American dream of upward mobility is in peril. In fact, if we don't turn things around, our younger generation will, for the first time in living memory, have a lower standard of living than their parents. And that is not acceptable. Globally, the situation is even more shocking, with most of the world's wealth concentrated among a very few, while billions of people have almost nothing. Today, the world's richest 26 billionaires, 26, now own as much wealth as the poorest 3.8 billion people on the planet, half of the world's population. But the struggle we are facing today is not just economic. Across the globe, the movement toward oligarchy runs parallel to the growth of authoritarian regimes, like Putin in Russia, Xi in China, Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia, Rodrigo Duterte in the Philippines, Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil, and Viktor Orban in Hungary. among others. These leaders meld corporatist economics with xenophobia and authoritarianism. They redirect popular anger about inequality and declining economic conditions into violent rage against minorities, whether they are immigrants, racial minorities, religious minorities, or the LGBT community. And to suppress dissent, they are cracking down on democracy and human rights. In the United States, of course, we have our own version of this movement, which is being led by President Trump and many of his Republican allies who are attempting to divide our country up and attack these very same communities. How sad it is that President Trump sees these authoritarian leaders as friends and allies. The authoritarian playbook, by the way, is not new. The challenge we confront today as a nation and as a world is in many ways not different from the one we faced a little less than a century ago during and after the Great Depression of the 1930s. Then as now, deeply rooted and seemingly intractable economic and social disparities led to the rise of right-wing nationalist forces all over the world. In Europe, the anger and despair was ultimately harnessed by authoritarian demagogues who fused corporatism, nationalism, racism, and xenophobia into a political movement that amassed totalitarian power, destroyed democracy, and ultimately murdered millions of people, including members of my own family. But we must remember that those were not the only places where dark forces tried to rise up and capture power. Today, we are all rightly repulsed by the sight of neo-Nazis and Klansmen openly marching in Charlottesville, Virginia, and we are horrified by houses of worship being shot up by right-wing terrorists. But on February 20th, 1939, over 20,000 Nazis held a mass rally, not in Berlin, not in Rome, but in Madison Square Garden, in front of a 30-foot banner of George Washington bordered with swastikas in New York City. New York City. But back then, those American extremists could not replicate the success of their authoritarian brethren across the ocean. Because we in the United States, thank God, made a different choice than Europe did in responding to the era's social and economic crises. We rejected the ideology of Mussolini and Hitler, and we instead embraced the bold and visionary leadership of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, then the leader of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. Together with organized labor, leaders in the African-American community, and progressives inside and outside the Democratic Party, Roosevelt led a transformation of the American government and the American economy. Like today, the quest for transformative change was opposed by big business, by Wall Street, by the political establishment, by the Republican Party, and by the conservative wing of FDR's own Democratic Party. And he faced the same scare tactics then that we experience today. Red baiting, xenophobia, racism, and anti-Semitism. In a famous 1936 campaign speech, Roosevelt stated, and I quote, We had to struggle with the old enemies of peace. Business and financial monopoly, speculation, reckless banking, class antagonism, sectionalism, war profiteering. They had begun to consider the government of the United States as a mere appendage to their own affairs. We know now that government by organized money is just as dangerous as government by organized mob. And Roosevelt concluded, and I quote, "Never before in all our history have these forces been so united against one candidate as they stand today. They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred."
Well, that's Bernie Sanders quoting FDR recently, and Bernie was speaking last week. That's a Roosevelt statement from the 1936 campaign, and I think it sounds like the Bernie Sanders supporters kind of tied in what FDR was saying to how things are going today. Sanders was laying out what democratic socialism is and how it connects historically to just essentially progressive periods of the U.S. under FDR, for example, and contrasting that with what's happening in the 1930s. Totalitarianism in Europe. So what are your thoughts? The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. You may also be listening on WMNF.org or on the WMNF smartphone app. And my name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. We're listening to a speech from Bernie Sanders, or parts of a speech. I'm not going to play the whole thing. You can find that online. I'll put a link to the video of this speech up on our website later this afternoon. But we're going to listen to just parts of it to get your take on democratic socialism. Does that word scare you? It scares some people. I want to hear your thoughts about what you think about democratic socialism. 813-239-9663. We're going to go back to the speech in just a little bit. I do want to read an email or two or take a phone call or two. So first I'll quickly read this email from DeAndre. He was talking about our first topic. He says, "Is hydroelectricity technology a part of the clean energy pushes in the Bay Area? I regularly hear about solar and sometimes about wind, but nothing about water power." And that's from DeAndre in Riverview. And I think the answer to that is that water power is not as prevalent in Florida as it could be in other places, like near Niagara Falls, for example, because we don't have raging rivers that flow down from mountains. And we also don't have the Gulf of Mexico doesn't have as much energy as, say, the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. So you it's not as easy to capture tidal energy or wave energy from the ocean. So that's, I think, why Florida relies less on hydroelectric than solar, especially, but you know, to some degree, wind is also important in Florida to a smaller degree. But thanks for that question, DeAndre. Let's go to Kayla in St. Petersburg. Hi, Kayla. What's on your mind? I'm sorry, Kayla. We have you on now. All right, Kayla. Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. You're on.
No, you're good. You're good. Yes. I'm kind of addressing the democratic socialism aspect of the segment that you were doing, and you were asking overall if people should be scared of the word socialism or shouldn't be scared of the word socialism. I'm actually the co-chair of Pinellas County DSA, and one of the things I always tell people whenever they're afraid of the word socialism is they typically go down the rabbit hole of, well, what if, you know, leaders in a socialistic state, you know, become tyrants and want everything for themselves. And essentially, that's almost a fear of what currently capitalism is. So
Bernie Sanders laid out the current situation in the world where 26 people own as much as half the world. So, you know, I think that that's the kind of the point he was trying to make, where we have essentially an oligarchy, an oligarchic system, and here's an alternative, perhaps.
Yes, absolutely. Is it okay if I possibly advertise the information for the DSA in Pinellas County.
Yeah, tell people what that's all about and where you meet and how people can find out more about the Democratic Socialists of America Pinellas County group, and don't mention any prices if that's something you might have done.
So we meet every second Sunday at Allendale United Methodist Church, which is 3803 Haynes Road North. You can also find out about our meetings on PinellasDSA.org. And you can also keep up with the current campaigns that we're running in our working groups. Right now we have four working groups that we're doing. The first one is labor, so that's working in solidarity with several labor unions throughout the county. Healthcare justice, our current campaigns with that are Medicare for All, and also branching into helping out with the Medicaid expansion. We also have an environmental justice working group that our current campaign is trying to get. It's focused around the Green New Deal, but on a smaller level. And also we have a political electoral group. Right now, like I said, we're meeting every second Sunday. The next meeting will be July 14th at 2 p.m. at Allendale United Methodist Church.
Do you have any candidates running locally, or do you know if there's any Democratic Socialists of America candidates running for president?
Well, for right now, as far as any candidates running for president, I mean, even though Bernie Sanders is not technically a part of the Democratic Socialists of America, he does pull from the same ideology, and currently our DSA nationally has endorsed him. And also, as far as locally goes, we're still sending out candidate surveys to see if there are any local candidates within, like, St. Petersburg or Pinellas County that would want to work in conjunction with DSA.
All right, Kayla.
Share a platform similarly.
Thank you for calling in. I appreciate your thoughts on this topic. And all right, thanks for letting us know about your group as well.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Kayla. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. We're talking about democratic socialism. I'm using some parts of the speech that Senator Bernie Sanders made a few days ago about democratic socialism, and I'm trying to find out what you think. So let's hear from Carlos in Tampa. Hi, Carlos.
How you doing, sir? Yeah, I think Bernie needs to be very careful. Let's talk about social justice. Let's not to go back to Europe to start with. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, the people here, they don't even have education about what socialism is to start with. Number two, there is a lot of fear going on. There is a lot of fear going on about socialism. And anyone who used these words, believe me, he or she, they are going to lose miserably because people, they don't have good education. You say the word socialism and all in their mind, oh my God, Soviet Union, you name it. You know what I mean? So that's all I have to say.
All right. Thanks, Carlos. I think that my understanding of why Senator Sanders was doing this speech was because, he wanted to let people know, change their minds about it, perhaps, if they did have an understanding about it, and contrast what happened in the Soviet Union with democratic socialism, which he just compares essentially to the FDR wing of the Democratic Party. But thank you for that call, Carlos.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. All right. 813-239-9663. We have some people on the lines, and I think what I'm going to do, though, is go just play another short segment of Bernie Sanders' speech. He gave this speech last Wednesday. It was in Washington, D.C. at George Washington University. It's about what is democratic socialism. We'll hear a few more minutes of this speech, and then we are going to continue to take your calls. 813-239-9663. You can also write in email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan. Here's a little bit more of Senator Bernie Sanders' speech on democratic socialism.
By rallying the American people, FDR and his progressive coalition created the New Deal, won four terms, and created an economy that worked for all and not just the few. Today, New Deal initiatives like Social Security, unemployment compensation, the right to form a union, the minimum wage, protection for farmers, regulation of Wall Street, and massive infrastructure improvements are considered pillars of American society. But while he stood up for the working families of our country, we can never forget that President Roosevelt was reviled by the oligarchs of his time, who berated these extremely popular programs as socialism. Similarly, in the 1960s, when President Lyndon Johnson brought about Medicare, Medicaid, and other extremely popular and important programs, he was also viciously attacked by the ruling class of this country. And here is the point. It is no exaggeration to state that not only did FDR's agenda improve the lives of millions of Americans, but the New Deal was enormously popular politically and helped defeat far-right extremism. For a time. Today, America and the world are once again moving toward authoritarianism, and the same right-wing forces of oligarchy, corporatism, nationalism, racism, and xenophobia are on the march, pushing us to make the apocalyptically wrong choice that Europe made in the last century. Today, we now see a handful of billionaires with unprecedented wealth and power. We see huge private monopolies operating outside of any real democratic oversight and often subsidized by taxpayers, with the power to control almost every aspect of our lives. They are the profit-taking gatekeepers of our healthcare, our technology, our finance system, our food supply, and almost all of the other basic necessities of life. And let us name them. They are Wall Street, the insurance companies, the drug companies, the fossil fuel industry, the military industrial complex, the prison industrial complex, and giant agribusiness. They are the entities with unlimited wealth who surround our nation's capital with thousands of well-paid lobbyists who, to a very significant degree, write the laws that we live under. Today, we have a demagogue in the White House who, for cheap political gain, is attempting to deflect the attention of the American people away from the real crises that we face, and instead is doing what demagogues always do, and that is to divide people up and legislate hatred. This is a president who supports brutal family separations, border walls, Muslim bans, anti-LGBT policies, deportations, and voter suppression. It is my very strong belief that the United States must reject that path of hatred and divisiveness and instead find the moral conviction to choose a different path, a higher path, a path of compassion, justice, and love. And that is the path that I call democratic socialism. Thank you. Over 80 years ago, Franklin Delano Roosevelt helped create a government that made transformative progress in protecting the needs of working families. Today, in the second decade of the 21st century, we must take up the unfinished business of the New Deal and carry it to completion. This is the unfinished business of the Democratic Party and the vision we together must accomplish. In order to accomplish that goal, it means committing ourselves to protecting political rights, to protecting civil rights, and to protect economic rights for all of the people in our country. As FDR stated in his 1944 State of the Union address, and I quote, "We have come to a clear realization of the fact that true individual freedom cannot exist without economic security and independence," end quote. Today, our Bill of Rights guarantees the American people a number of important constitutionally protected political rights. And while we understand that these rights have not always been respected, and we have so much work to do in order to protect those rights, we are proud that our Constitution guarantees freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, a free press, and other rights, because we understand that we can never have true American freedom unless we are free from authoritarian tyranny. But now we must take the next step forward and guarantee every man, woman, and child in our country basic economic rights, the right to quality health care. The right to as much education as one needs to succeed in our society. The right to a good job that pays a living wage. The right to affordable housing. The right to a secure retirement. And the right to live in a clean environment. We must recognize that in the 21st century, in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, economic rights are human rights. And that is what I mean by democratic socialism.
Well, that's Bernie Sanders speaking last week, and he's talking about what is democratic socialism. I actually cut off I was going to play a little bit more than that. I had a little bit more of the tape, but I thought that was a good place to end it. He was defining democratic socialism as basic economic rights. And we have so many people on the line that I do want to take some calls. So I want to remind you that you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. It's 12:40 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to a discussion on Midpoint Monday about democratic socialism. That's the topic right now, and we're taking calls, and the number to call in is 813-239-9663. We have Richard in Tampa. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Sean. I just wanted to make some comments about what Bernie said, which was he's really spot on what he's saying. He's really got a lot of chutzpah to come out and say what he's saying. I stand behind everything he's saying. My wife made a comment, asked me why was he still around at his age and in this race and everything, after he had joined forces with Hillary and demoralized himself. And this is the reason why. I mean, he's just woken me up again. I mean, everything in the universe is a cycle, and we come around in a cycle again after about 50 years when the Nazis were trying to rule the world, and it's coming again, and it's part of the power. You know, people get power and the control of the money, and they don't want to share it. And what Bernie's saying is true. His vision hopefully is going to come true. It's probably going to come with civil war, which we haven't seen a civil war in about 200 years to overturn what's going on. But bravo for what he's saying. More people need to come out and say and agree and join forces to overturn what's going on today in this country. There's no future for the youth and the generations of the poor in this country and the middle class unless they stand up today and put their line in the ground and support what this man's saying.
All right, Richard, thanks so much for calling in. 813-239-9663. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're talking about the Bernie Sanders speech on democratic socialism. I want to read some of the emails that we've gotten in, and we'll take some phone calls as well. Liz in Spring Hill writes, "It's about time that people heard the truth about democratic socialism directly from Bernie Sanders." Liz says, "It's his finest hour. I hope he doesn't let up. This is powerful, and everyone of voting age needs to hear this. Especially the creepy representative from Newport Richie on Rob's Friday night show," is what Liz in Spring Hill says. So thanks for that comment, Liz. We also have, we'll go back to the phone lines and I'll read some more emails in just a second. But John in St. Petersburg, John, you've been holding for a while. What's on your mind?
I just want to say thank you for playing that clip from Bernie. I totally agree with everything he said. And, the only problem that we have is people are that word socialism has got such a negative connotation because it's been misinterpreted. I mean, we all have Social Security, and don't have a problem with that. We have Medicaid, which we shouldn't have a problem with that. And I thank you for playing that clip because people need to hear this and get out and vote and take somebody to the polls and help them get there to vote so we can defeat this kind of thing that's going on right now with Trump and the Republicans. Thank you for letting me speak.
All right, John. Thanks so much for calling in. Let's go to at least one more phone call right now. Aaron in Bradenton, you've been holding a while. Thanks for calling in, Aaron.
Hey, how's it going? You can hear me all right, Sean?
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks.
Awesome. Cool. So, yeah, I mean, definitely love the fact that Bernie's an advocate for change. I think we can all agree we need change in this country. My problem is, though, is he seems to use a lot of these taglines, these punchlines, if you will, but I guess probably both parties do it, but these demagogues, you know, the fact that there's these 26, 27 people controlling all the money. But, I mean, this is not really a Republican, Democratic issue. I mean, this is going back to biblical days. I mean, this has been happening. This is nothing new. I mean, it's not like we implement another Democrat into party and we're gonna, you know, fix this issue. This is something that's been going on for thousands of years. Just a little upset that every Democratic I seem to hear speak about economic issues. Why is it that they all seem to ignore the fact that there's millions of Americans like myself that are small business owners that are doing things that we haven't done in a long time. I mean, he seems to ignore the fact that there's more millionaires than ever before. There's a lot of wealth being attained in the middle class level by people like myself. I mean, I've got neighbors that own multiple businesses, and they're all growing. And I'm not saying it's a direct correlation to Trump or not, but hard to deny the tax incentives to grow small business is more aggressive than we've seen in a long time. And to me, I am seeing a lot of this trickle-down wealth occurring right now. And I just feel like the Democratic Party, for the most part, is just kind of ignoring this fact and acting like it's, you know, there's a very small, super wealthy class and everybody else is dirt poor. I just feel like it's an exaggeration of the truth.
So you feel the economy is doing really well for you?
Well, I mean, it's not just for me. I mean, I live in a very middle-class neighborhood. I have many neighbors that are small business owners like myself. We all seem to be doing pretty well for the first time in a long time. We have good health care, our children, good education, public education seems to be doing all right. They seem to be doing really well. I know Floridians are kind of blessed in many regards, as opposed to maybe places like in West Virginia, as Bernie Sanders was pointing out in his speech. But, I mean, again, such is life. I just think a lot of this is demographic based on location. But when you look into the macroeconomics, it's hard to deny that there's a lot of small businesses that are doing really well, and there's more and more of them popping up every day.
Aaron, have you decided who you're going to vote for in the primaries or in the general election?
No, I haven't. I voted for Trump. You know, I'm not happy with most of what he's done, to be honest. I'm not necessarily a Trump advocate by any means. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm a college graduate. I think a lot of this is comes down to education. You know, people don't really understand what really is going on economically. And I feel like the Democrats use that to their advantage, to more or less, I want to say, trick the lower class into, you know, making them think that this is a problem that can be solved by Democrats. I just don't see it. You know, you get a somebody like Bernie into place, all of a sudden these corporations that have been paying more wages, hiring more people, you see a lot of this economic boom is not just the super wealthy doing well. It's a lot of people right in the middle of the ranks, like myself. Hard to deny that. And I just feel like a lot of that may go away and might end up kind of doing the opposite, kind of doing what they're warning against, demagogues and this and that. You nationalize everything. I mean, in and of itself, what is that doing? It's putting a very small percentage of people into power, I mean, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Well, I'm glad you called in with that perspective. Thanks so much for calling in, Aaron, and thanks. I'm glad you gave me that perspective. And I wonder if our listeners agree with what Aaron said. Are you experiencing the same thing? Are people in your neighborhood financially doing really well right now? I know it sounds like in his neighborhood there are, and I also get callers sometimes that say that things aren't going very well economically. So I'd like to hear from you, 813-239-9663. And what are the answers? What do you hope will change in the next 4 years? Or what do you hope remains the same that's happened in the last few years? 813-239-9663. It's 12:48 in the afternoon. We'll take a call or two more, and then we'll hear from Marco Rubio, because Marco Rubio presents a criticism of what Bernie Sanders was saying. Marco Rubio criticizes democratic socialism, and I'd like to get your take on what he says as well. So, who's been holding a while now? Kevin in Bradenton. We got the all Bradenton section of the show. All right, go ahead, Kevin.
Excellent. Hey, great program. Thank you, Sean, for taking my call. I got to throw back a little bit against Aaron. You know, there are some people in this country that are doing as well as he, but it's not because of their lack of initiative or their lack of education. In a lot of cases, it could be something as simple as exorbitant health care costs. And, you know, I'm glad that that hasn't affected him, and maybe he could afford the costs that are obviously very prohibitive. But, you know, while he says that the trickle-down wealth and the economy is great for him and the people that he knows, you know, that is true, obviously, for some people, okay? But what we're talking about here is the general population, not just his type of people. And one thing I always think about is, you know, when you measure a country's success, is it just the GDP and is it just the low unemployment numbers, or is it possibly how old people, young, very young people, disabled and less fortunate are treated? And if this country was doing its fair share to make sure that those that are less fortunate were sharing in the great economy, then I would be all for it too, but I don't see that. And then one other thing I wanted to mention, when it comes to the definition that the Republicans like to use for socialism, it reminds me of talking to people that were anti-union people when I used to be a union representative. And there were people that would say it's basically a communist idea. And, you know, to me, that is actually the opposite of what a union is. And when they use communists to describe unions, it's similar to the type of inflammatory language that they use to describe socialist programs and socialist ideas. So for me, you know, I'm certainly glad for somebody like Aaron, and I'm proud of the fact that people, you know, that are doing well in this country. But there's no reason in a country with this much wealth why it has to be, you know, just a certain class of people. And there is certainly enough money to go around for everybody. But I digress, and I am looking forward to hearing Marco Rubio's take on, although I can tell you right now, I don't think that he'll be very forthright in telling us, you know, the real reason why he feels the way that he does. But I digress. Thank you very much for your time, Sean.
Kevin, thanks for your call. I appreciate that call. We are going to hear from Marco Rubio in just a second. Let me quickly read this text that came in unsigned from the 813 area code. And this person says, Sanders is the one candidate who realizes that poverty, income inequality, and climate change are the greatest threats we face to our existence. So that's coming from 813 area code. There might be some other candidates who feel the same way, but that's what 813 says. So now we have the same day that Bernie Sanders gave his speech. In fact, this probably came out before Sanders' speech. Florida's senior U.S. Senator Marco Rubio released a short video. In the video, he warns about what he calls the dangers of democratic socialism and how it's incompatible with American values. So listen to this this pre-recorded video from Marco Rubio and let us know what you think. DJ at WMNF.org or 813-239-9663. This is 88.5 FM WMNF.
Democratic socialism is quickly becoming a trendy phrase in American politics. But why has it become so popular among some? Because it allows the radical left to ignore the incredibly destructive history of socialism. And the promises are very familiar. A universal basic income, free college, government-run health care, a guaranteed government job for everyone. There's just one problem. Democratic socialism is incompatible with our American values. Democratic socialism hasn't worked anywhere in the world, and in fact, there are people living in America today who came here because democratic socialism destroyed the economies of their countries. There's no doubt that our public policies must change to better reflect our values of dignified work and strong families and thriving communities. But democratic socialism, that will never be the answer.
Well, that's Marco Rubio, U.S. Senator Marco Rubio, Florida senior U.S. Senator, Republican. And he says that democratic socialism has not worked anywhere in the world. And what do you think about that? What do you know about the countries that adhere to democratic socialism in Northern Europe, for example? I don't think that there is a flood of immigrants coming from Norway or from Denmark or Sweden trying to escape democratic socialism to come to the United States. Trump is not trying to build a wall in the Atlantic Ocean to stop the migration from Northern Europe. But, you know, that's what I think about that. So democratic socialism hasn't worked anywhere in the world, says Marco Rubio. Your thoughts, 813-239-9663. We've had some people holding on, so let's hear from John in Palmetto. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, doing great.
First, the gentleman that spoke, Ian or Aaron, I think his name was, you know, for him to be saying what he said, I totally agree with him, and that means that he just doesn't get it. He doesn't even come close to getting it. What it is, if he needs to told somebody or asked the person, people on this block that own businesses or multiple businesses, what they make a year. And if he's quite comfortable, if he's sitting around with a couple hundred grand a year, well, he's in the top, you know, in the top 12% of the earners. If he's quite happy with the discontent that's going on with and willing just to be because he's part of that club, to try and see things through a different lens, then really that's too bad for them. Then that's the biggest danger to America ever working, because it the trend keeps going to where the mark of the growth and wealth in this country is going to fewer and fewer at such great, great amounts. It's unmeasurable. So you know, they're all right. And I will say that Rubio's right, too. Changing America's values. Well, his America values. I grew up in Miami. I'm a reporter. You know, he lies like Trump lies, only he does it with a sweet little smile on his face. And I don't believe a thing. He should stay out of Venezuela, and he should stay out of weighing up on any of this stuff. And when it comes down to it, there is, for things that haven't happened yet, what we're looking at is something that's never happened before. If we try some a democracy, a socialism, democratic socialism here, it's not going to have ever been done before. Nothing hasn't been done yet. So, but, you know, he's just trying to disconnect us from each other. That's all. And thank you.
All right, John, thanks so much for your call. 813-239-9663. Though we're running out of time, we will probably try to squeeze in a few more calls. Dan in Tampa, what's on your mind?
Hey, real quick, Aaron, the guy that called in, if America's doing so well, why is it that 40% of Americans don't even have $400 for an emergency? And number two, if the economy is kicking in like they say, why are we borrowing another $1.1 trillion for deficit money? I don't understand that part, okay? And why are we always having people having, I call them begging sales, bake sales or whatever, so individuals can get medical care? I'm just curious, Aaron. I mean, I don't know what neighborhood you live in or what kind of business you may have, but the average Americans, I think average salary is about $52,000 maybe, and you can't live on that today hardly. And when they talk about democratic socialism, Rubio's talking social. When he's talking, he's talking about other countries like Cuba, maybe, or where I'm down in South America right now, where Venezuela is at. Anyway, they don't have democratic socialism. They have a form of socialism, but it's more like a communist socialism because they do all of it. There's no democracy involved in it, hardly. There's a big difference. Nobody's leaving Norway or Sweden and to come here. We're leaving here to go there. Just a thought. Have a great day.
Dan, thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. And you can join the conversation as well by texting 813-433-0885, just like 813 did. It's a different 813 here, also unsigned. Hey, please sign your text if you don't mind, because I don't know who writes it unless you sign it. And 813 says, that Rubio clip was a joke. He sounds like a parrot spitting out the same tired lines. People who agree with him will believe it without any research. The economy is not the only thing that matters. So that is a comment there from the 813 area code. Also, Chip in Tampa says, everything Bernie said and proposes is to the benefit of 90% of the people, but there's a segment of the population that will reject and tune him out because of the socialism label. I wish he would call it democratic capitalism. Also, framing healthcare, living wage, and affordable housing as rights might be a mistake, as there will be those who disagree. If he discussed those issues from the standpoint of what will happen when large numbers of people can't afford them, there may end up being more support for them. Well, that's the idea of Chip in Tampa, so thank you for that text. And Adam writes, man, I would love to live in that fantasy world of the caller who just called in. He's referring again to Aaron from Bradenton, who is getting to be the punching bag in the last few minutes of the show. Sorry about that, Aaron. But Adam writes, good health care, good education, says he lives around a bunch of millionaires. He completely ignores the last 10 years when it comes to the stock market and the economy. Doesn't exactly sound like the kind of person who understands the issues we're talking about. So that's an email that came in from Adam. And I have I'm catching up here on the email, so sorry for that I'm being slow. David writes, I'll read some of what David wrote. He said, Bernie for president, down with Trump and the chumps. I feel like Trump is the real rhino, that stands for Republican in name only, and has hijacked the Republican Party. David goes on to say, I hope that more Republicans like Mitt Romney will become emboldened. I'll translate from kind of vulgar speech into radio-friendly speech. Will become emboldened and speak out against baby Trump. So that's the thoughts from David. So I want to thank everyone who called in and everyone who wrote. And if you're still on hold, I apologize. You can leave me a voicemail at 813-238-8001, extension 114, and I'll play your message next show. And if you missed any of this show, Or if you'd like to watch the whole Bernie Sanders speech, I'm going to post that on our website, WMNF.org/news. You can join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. And I want to thank our engineers, Alvaro Montealegre and Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned right now for Latino 54. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland, and Bradenton. Thanks so much for listening.